I want to clear my throat a little bit. I think I've still got some sausage gravy stuck right about here. And if halfway through the sermon, I went through some biscuits and gravy pretty quick. As quick as I could, trying to keep it off my shirt. But if I happened to fall asleep halfway through the sermon, nudge me. And if you happen to fall asleep halfway through the sermon, I'll understand. How's that? It was very good. Thank you to everyone who brought in food today. I hope the fellowship was as good as the food. Well, it's planting time. It's planting time. Today's crop farmers use a wide variety of equipment and products to plant their fields. And the farmer has tens of thousands, and really hundreds of thousands of dollars invested just to plant crops. I have limited knowledge of farming. I did not check with Mike ahead of time about this. I probably should have consulted with him. But in my limited knowledge of farming, I'm thinking things like a large four-wheel drive tractor, green, red, yellow, whatever your choice is, a plow, a disc, a 16-row planter. If you're a no-till farmer, you would need a seed drill. Preparing the soil before planting, you might put things in the ground like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, anhydrous ammonia. Of course, you need a farm truck, even in the planting process. And then, of course, most important of all, you need seeds. And it seems like today's technology has made the planting of crops very precise, very efficient, and really very productive. But that's a far cry from the farmer planting crops in Jesus' day. Best I can tell, the farmer used a bag hung over their shoulder and their hand. The only common denominator was, of course, most important of all, seeds. The farmer simply reached in the bag, grabbing a handful of seeds and just scattering it randomly on the ground. So planting of crops was not very precise, not very efficient, and as we'll see in the story we're about to read from the Bible, not always productive. Today's parable, told by Jesus in the book of Mark, will help us understand what it was like for the farmer in his day. Now, Jesus is going to be teaching in the form of a parable. In fact, there's going to be several parables here in Mark that we will go to one after the other. So let's make sure we understand what a parable is. It's a made-up story that makes a spiritual point. A made-up story that makes a spiritual point. So here we go with Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 1, and we'll go through verse 20. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around, so he got in the boat. Then he sat in the boat, and while the people remained on the shore, he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. He scattered it across the field. Some of it fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted. They grew, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then Jesus said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Now later, while Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You all are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand the other parables? The farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Pretty familiar parable. You've probably heard multiple messages on this. Hopefully something new will come out of today's message that can be applied today. So let's break the parable down and see what the spiritual point is for us today. First, there is the seed. And we know in the parable that the seed is representative of God's word. So the seed is good. I mean, the seed is perfect. There's no problem with the seed. If there's any problems that come out of a bad harvest, it's not because of the seed, because it's God's word. So keep that in mind. Now, the second major thing in the story, the parable, is the farmer. And the farmer represents the person who is sowing the seed or sowing God's word. And that could be a preacher. It could be an evangelist. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be anyone who could tell others about Jesus. And you know who that is? That's all of us. Because any of us could spread a seed of God's message to anyone that we come in contact with. So this parable, today's teaching, is for me and it's for you. The rest of the parable is all about where the seed lands, the soil. The soil represents four ways people respond to hearing God's message. Of the four soils mentioned, catch this, only one produces a crop. Let me emphasize this. No matter who you are, if you are spreading God's message, God's word, which we all should be doing, remember, not everybody is going to accept what you sow. The seed will be perfect. You as the farmer, you're doing the best you can because you're just randomly sowing the seed, God's message. But not everybody's going to receive it. In fact, remember, Jesus in his 3+ years of ministry, not everybody received what he sowed. And the parable just as much tells us that not everybody's going to receive this. So keep that in mind. But one of the points he makes is this. We must sow and we must continue sowing. That's the part we play. Let me say it another way. You and I are only responsible to sow. The final result, the harvest, is going to be up to the person that you sow seeds on and God. He will have the ultimate say-so. So let's look at the four types of soil. And we'll start with the footpath. It's those who hear the message of God. Maybe they heard the message of God because they attended church. Maybe they went to VBS as a child or to church camp even as a youth. Maybe they heard it from a godly parent or spouse or even a child. Possibly the message came from a coworker or a family member or a friend. Maybe they heard God's message being preached while they were channel surfing one day. The bottom line, I think the parable says this. Somehow, sometime, somewhere, they heard the message. A seed of God fell on them. A seed of God's message fell on them. But, the parable says, but Satan immediately took it away. The footpath represents a hard soil. And you know, I've been teaching a lot as we've looked at Mark about how people can harden their heart if they continually, over and over and over, reject God. A footpath isn't made hard in a day. It's made hard over many days, many years, and maybe even many decades. Once the path is so hard, though, nothing can penetrate. That seed cannot penetrate. So remember this. If you are sowing seeds that happen to fall on a footpath soul, don't be discouraged if they don't respond to you or to God. Pray this. Here's what you can do. Pray that their hardened soil can be broken, can be cracked, so that one day they can receive that seed of God's message. Well, the rocky soil is next. The rocky or the shallow soil. It's those who hear the message of God. And again, it could have been heard in the many ways I suggested previously. But this time, there's some penetration. The message is immediately received with joy. And the joy lasts for a while. It lasts for days, weeks, maybe months. Hearing God's word as that seed penetrates causes them to want to open the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, find a church, find a people to fellowship with and to learn from. Maybe they start a prayer life. The joy may even be noticeable to others. But, the parable says, but the joy fades. It doesn't last long. Once the problems of this life come, and they always do. The problems of this life always do come. And once they do come for these people, when they are persecuted for their newfound belief in Jesus, causes them, say, to lose friends, maybe not get that promotion at work, or to be made fun of at school, they fall away. As mature believers, we need to be keenly aware that those folks are in that rocky soil type. When you find out that they've taken an interest in Jesus, be sure you take an interest in them. Keep your eye on them. Spend time with them. Help them when you see their joy start to fade. Maybe remove some rocks in the soil. But again, don't be discouraged if a person with this type of soil doesn't commit to Jesus. Remember, you're responsible to sow. God is responsible to grow. Well, there's a third soil in the parable, the thorny soil. It's those who hear the message of God. Have you noticed that each soil starts the same way? It's those who hear the message of God. There's people who don't hear the message of God. That's a whole different situation. But these soils, they all start with hearing the message of God. And once again, it appears that the seed has penetrated and growth is starting. In fact, there's a period of time of growth. But other things are growing along with God's message. The parable mentions specific things like worry and greed, and the constant desire for other things, whatever those are. They're growing alongside God's message. My dad always kept a garden, and when we lived in the Knightstown area, our garden was, and it was large, it was in the south side of Carthage. So it was a little distance to drive there. It's not like you could go out in your backyard and see how things were going. Dad always kept a really nice garden for as long as I can ever remember. Well, one season, he had planted the garden and then had an unexpected back surgery that laid him out for several weeks. By the time he was able to get to the garden, it was a mess. I was a little fellow at the time, but I remember as clear as it could be, when we finally got to Carthage to see the garden, hey, sure enough, the beans had grown, but so had everything else. And all I remember seeing a blanket of solid green. And my dad says, well, we got to get in there and start pulling out the weeds. The weeds that had grown up with the good seed. And you know, I can remember, as first of all, it was hard to tell where the weed was and where the bean was. And I recall even pulling up beans accidentally, or sometimes as I would pull on a good sturdy weed, the bean plant would come up. Anyhow, everything was all connected together underneath as well as on top. And you know what? That year, there was no harvest. We were too late. That's the picture that Jesus is telling us with this story. The good seed of God's word was growing, but the weeds of worry and greed continued to grow alongside. And the worry and greed were so powerful, it choked out God to the point where no fruit was produced in the person's life. Now, the person may still attend church. They may put money in the offering plate. They may even own a Bible. They may look like a green bean plant, but the key is there's never been any beans produced. No fruit. Again, you and I do the sowing, God does the growing. But then there's one last type of soil. I'm encouraged by this. Once again, like all the other soils, the good, fertile soil represents those who hear the message of God. They not only hear it, but they accept it. The seed penetrates, the seed sprouts, and the sprout grows into a plant, and the plant produces a crop. And the crop is amazing. This one seed produces 30, sometimes 60 seeds. And incredibly, according to the story that Jesus makes up, this one seed can produce even 100 times what was sowed. The various degrees of productivity may have to do with the growing conditions that are out of our control. A full-time farmer or a gardener can do many things to prepare the soil and plant. But sometimes things like the rain or the sun or the storms could affect the harvest in some way. But you see, the point is this: there's growth in good soil, in fertile soil. There's productivity. That is the main key. And then here's my main point. It's in one sentence. Productivity is how we can tell the seed of God's word fell on good ground. Productivity is how we can tell that the word of God, God's message, fell on good ground. There's fruit. There's something to be harvested from that soil, from the one seed. And the final point about the harvest, just like the crop farmer, the amount of harvest is not completely up to us. Again, there will be those conditions, situations in life that are out of our control. Ultimately, it's God will be the one to determine, is it 60, 30, or 60, or 100? So, keep on sowing. So keep on sowing. Keep scattering the seeds of God's message to anyone and everyone. And don't forget this. Someone, some years ago, maybe months ago, was sowing seeds and it fell on you. And what I'm looking at now is I'm looking at growing and productive plants. And some of you are causing others to be productive as you have sown seeds, which have sown seeds, which have sown seeds. You wouldn't be here today if someone hadn't sowed a seed in your life. Just keep that in mind. And I don't know who it was for you. And maybe you don't even know who it was for you. Might have been mom and dad. Might have been a teacher. Might have been a coworker. Might have been a friend. Might have been whoever. But you wouldn't be here if someone hadn't sown a seed and if your soil wasn't good. You know, as always, I want to end with telling you to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. But I've also got an extra blessing today. Blessings on our multi-acre, full-time farmers and our backyard gardeners. May you all have a great harvest. And then blessings to you, my Christian brothers and sisters, who have sown, are sowing, and will sow spiritual seeds. May the kingdom have an even greater harvest because you are sowing. Let's go ahead and sing our closing song, or which is going to be Gerald and Pam. We love it.